welcome you this morning. Special thanks to our hosts for giving us this opportunity to all come together for some sadhu sangha, some Vaishnava association, in which Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. We engage in the nine processes of devotional service. Most notably this morning, Shravanam, Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So, we have chosen a verse from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 25. It's called The Glories of Devotional Service. Madbhayat vativatoyam suryas tapati madbhayat varsha tindra dahat yagnir mrityus charati madbhayat. Translation: it is because of my supremacy that the wind blows. Out of fear of me, the sun shines. And out of fear of me, the Lord of the clouds, Indra, sends forth showers. Fire burns out of fear of me, and death goes about taking its toll out of fear of me. Purport: the personality of Godhead Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that the natural laws being enacted are correct in all activities because of his superintendence. No one should think that nature is working automatically without superintendence. The Vedic literature says the clouds are controlled by the demigod Indra. Heat is distributed by the sun god. The soothing moonlight is distributed by Chandra. And the air is blowing under the arrangement of the demigod Vayu. But above all these demigods is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the chief living entity, God. Nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitananam. The demigods are also ordinary living entities, but due to their faithfulness, their devotional service attitude, they have been promoted to such posts. These different demigods or directors, such as Chandra, Varuna, and Vayu, are called Adhikari Devata. The demigods are departmental heads. The government of the Supreme Lord consists not only of one planet, or two, or three, but there are millions and millions of planets all over the universe. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is a huge government, and it requires assistance. The demigods are considered his bodily limbs. These are the descriptions of Vedic literature. Under these circumstances, the sun god, the moon god, the fire god, and the air god are working under the direction of the Supreme Lord. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyute Sa Characharam. The natural laws are being conducted under his superintendence. Because he is the background, everything is being performed punctually and regularly. One who has taken shelter of the Lord is completely protected from all other influences. He no longer serves or is obliged to anyone else. Of course, he is not disobedient to anyone, but his full power of thought is absorbed in the service of the Lord. The statements by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Kapila that under his direction the air is blowing, the fire is burning, and the sun is giving heat are not sentimental. The impersonalist may say that the Bhagavatam creates, the Bhagavatam devotees create and imagine someone as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and assign qualifications to him. But actually, it is neither imagination nor an imposition of artificial power in the name of God. In the Vedas it is said, Bishashmat vata bhavate bishodete shuraha. By fear of the Supreme Lord, the wind god and the sun god are acting. Bishamad agnish chandras cha mrityur dhavati panchama. Agni, Indra, and Mrityu are also acting under his direction. These are the statements of the Veda. So So in this verse from third canto, which is actually the teachings of Lord Kapiladev, we hear how out of fear of the Supreme Lord, out of fear of God, the wind blows, the sun shines, and the rain falls. Of course, we understand that the wind and the sun and the rain and all the other activities of material nature just refers to the demigods, like Vayu and Vivishwan and Indra. Out of fear, maybe a more appropriate word might be out of respect for Krishna, these demigods perform their duties of controlling the wind, the sun, and the rain. All these functions are under the supervision of these personalities. It's not like modern science speculates. They say that the workings of nature is all going on in a very mechanistic way, without anyone in control. Not all of them. Einstein, he said that after studying this universe his whole life, he was a lifelong scientist, he said, I have come to the conclusion that beyond the workings of nature, there's an intelligent being. This is the real scientist. Not happening by some mechanical means. Of course, this is a big discussion these days in society. They call it the intelligent design theory. Our Christian brothers and sisters are advocating this. We also support that theory. Nothing happens by chance. I mean, if you see some order, there must be some intelligence. And there's definitely order in the universe. From the smallest atom up to the entire cosmos, there's so much order. It's not chaos. Like if you were to visit this house and it was abandoned, you would just see everything thrown all over the place, holes in the wall, you know, a big mess. And you would naturally conclude, oh, no one lives here. But if you come now and you see how neat and clean this house is, this is a compliment. Because I go to a lot of houses, and I like when it's Prabhupada said, one time he said to Prabhupada, did you hear the maxim, cleanliness is next to godliness? Prabhupada said, no, cleanliness is godliness. He said, a place for everything, everything in its place. So that means somebody put it there. Somebody cleaned it. So you come to a nice, tidy house like this, you can understand someone's living here. Because there's so much order. And order means intelligence. That's the basic theory of intelligent design. It's a very strong argument. And the scientists are trying their best to fight back. And they're smart guys. But actually, the truth is the truth. Can't be defeated. You may not see the couple who lives here. It doesn't mean they don't exist. You may not be able to see God, how he's working through the material nature, organizing everything. Doesn't mean he doesn't exist. Just because you don't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. The symptoms are there, order. You're just not qualified to have his darshan, to have his meeting. You think it's so easy to see God, to be with God? Sometimes people challenge. If there's God, show me God. Well, sir, he's there, but what is your qualification for meeting him? Just like Mr. Bush, you may have a grievance. Your son has gone to Iraq, and he's been injured, and the government's not taking proper care, so you have a grievance. I want to see the supreme commander of the army, because the president in this country is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. So you want to complain. Well, it's not so easy to see Mr. Bush. Recently, the parents of one soldier, one Navy SEAL, he died in the line of duty. He got the Medal of Honor. It was very courageous, but he sacrificed his life for his friends in the war. So he got the Medal of Honor. If the highest award that our government gives to a soldier, the Medal of Honor. Usually it's given posthumously. There's very few that have been given to living soldiers, because it takes a great act of valor. So those parents, under exceptional circumstances, they got to meet President Bush. And President Bush was so moved by their sacrifice that he was actually cried. So it's not easy to see the president. And who is the president compared to God? He's the president of one country. Of course, in our eyes, this is the greatest country. But you go across the border, north or south, they're also thinking that they're the greatest country. Everyone thinking they're the greatest country. This is the nature of patriotism. Very many important people. But there's always somebody more important. You go up the chain of command. And you arrive at the top. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna. You'll arrive at the Supreme Personality of God. And God's not impersonal. He's impersonal and he's personal. Why this or that? He's everything. He's the absolute truth. Absolute truth means everything within and without our experience. So God has his impersonal nature. He is light, like some of the hippies used to say. That's the effulgence coming from his form. He's the force. But that energy is coming from him. He's a person. A spiritual person, not a material. Not an old man with gray hair and aging body. But he's Nayovanamja. He's eternally youthful. And he's completely in control. Completely. So the demigods, they're his agents. They're his representatives. They're the cabinet, like Mr. Bush. I hope there's a government agent here today. Give me a lot of credit for speaking so nicely about him. Sometimes I don't speak so nicely about Bush, but today I am. And I'm not even a Democrat or a Republican. I'm nothing. I haven't lived in this country most of my life. I don't vote outside of the country. But he has his cabinet. And so will Mr. Obama or Mr. Oh, maybe Mrs. Clinton. I know. Sorry, ladies. Maybe Mrs. Clinton. Or maybe McCain. I don't know. It's all in the stars. It's already decided by destiny, but we don't know. So he delegates. Good management means to delegate. I learned this the hard way. Before the One-Minute Manager came out, remember that book, The One-Minute Manager, back in the 80s? There's so many books about management. You go into a Borders bookshop, there's a whole shelf of books about how to manage this and manage that, and it's mind-boggling. But the original book was The One-Minute Manager. You know, Management in 10 Easy Lessons. And I remember reading it as a temple president. Was that a tough job, being a temple president? 1 minute. So the one of the recommendations was, don't try to do everything yourself. You won't be able to do it. You have to delegate. A good manager delegates. Prabhupada wrote to one of my godbrothers, Bhagavan Das. I opened the letter for him and read it to him. He said, you're a good leader because you know how to engage all your men properly according to their nature. You delegate. I mean, you can only go so far on your own. You need help. Many hands make small work. So delegate. You can still take the credit if you want. That's where you're at. The business is successful. So God, he's in the spiritual world. Parastasmatu bhavanyo vyakto vyaktat shunatana. Beyond this temporary creation, the material world, which is sometimes manifest and sometimes unmanifest, and again manifest, and again unmanifested. There's an eternal world which is never subject to creation and destruction. It's there eternally, changeless, eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And there the Lord is enjoying very sweet, intimate, loving pastimes with his devotees. But in this world, Mrityuloka, this world of death, which we choose to come from, to, foolishly, Everything's in flux. And there are devatas who are managing it. It needs some management. So they're just like you and me. They're jiva souls. They're tiny little servants of God. But he empowers them to do the amazing feats they do in managing this universe. They're called demigods. They're not gods. Sometimes people that hear Hinduism, they say, why are there so many gods? What are you Hindus like? Don't you realize there's only one Supreme Father? There's only God? What's a quote from the Bible in that regard? Like Jesus said, he sits at the right hand of his Father. He doesn't mention, you know, four or five fathers. No, there's one Supreme Lord. We accept that. But our Vedic literatures go into great detail about both the spiritual world and the material world. Because one should also be convinced according to his intelligence. One shouldn't accept anything on blind faith, sentiment. I just really like it here, so I'm going to join. This is my religion. It's okay. But really, we should surrender based on our intelligence. Make a conscious decision. Yes, this is why I'm surrendering to God. So to help us, there's so much detailed information of both the spiritual creation and the material world. And here it is. The Lord empowers these living entities. Maybe you were one before, you were also a demigod, who knows? Maybe in the future you'll be one. That's what you want. They're devotees, but they have mixed desires. They don't want to go all the way back to Godhead. They want to be devotees, but they want their TV too. Hint, hint. If you have the TV, it means you'll take birth again. It's mixed devotional service. Anya bilasita sunyam gana karma navitam anukalena krishna shilanam bhakti utam. Only those who have pure desires to serve God go back. If you have the slightest tinge of material desire, back to Washington, D.C. Now the weather's nice, but I heard it was a cold winter, and I heard the summers here are really hot and humid. Yuck. So don't come back. So devata means an empowered, and there's so many of them, because there's lots of things to do to organize this creation. You can imagine how much there is to do to organize this house. This is like a little universe. You ask the proprietors of this house how much they had to do to get this house ready for us to come. Spring cleaning, some flowers to make garlands, they had to go shopping to get the boga, they had to prepare the feast, they sent out the invitations, make the phone calls, take the kids in the backyard so Swamiji could continue his lecture, make sure the phone doesn't ring. What does being able to manage the universe? That's why Brahma has four heads. Be smart. And what did Prabhupada say? How many crores? Of 33 crores, which means what in English?
330 million.
We need our IT.
3 million.
Mathematicians. Millions and millions and millions. And they're all different kinds. There's the little guys and the big guys. It's described in the fifth canto, actually, the description of the universe, the different planetary systems. There's life on every planet, as Prabhupada says here. Maybe not life as we know it, but that does, because you can't live there doesn't mean someone else can't live there. You can't live in the water. There are plenty of fish, they're very happy there. They would hate to be in this room. I often tell the story of my Muslim friend in Oman. He said to me one time, he was a mullah, and he said, Maharaj, we were discussing the similarities between our religion, not the differences. The differences are superficial. The similarities between the religions are very great. So he said to me, do you believe that there is life throughout this universe? I said, yes, our Vedic scriptures give a detailed account. He said, yes. He said, if there's not life throughout this universe, he says, then Allah has wasted a lot of space. So just above the earth planet, there's like Gandharvas. They're minor demigods. And they have the wings, actually. You see the wings. Like in our Judeo-Christian tradition, we understand celestial beings. Same principle, but not so detailed a description of what they do. But they have wings, they're Gandharvas, they're good singers. And as you go higher up in the echelon throughout the universe, you'll come to Manus. Who are the Manus? Krishna says these Manus are the major demigods. They're like the progenitors of mankind. Manu. They procreate and produce all the species within this vast territory of the material world. And what's more important, that some of them are very responsible. They're members of the disciplic succession. Imam Vishvate Yogam Proktavana Ham Avyayam Vishvashan Manave Paha Manar Ishva Kave Bhavit. The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivishwan. And Vivishwan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Vishwaka. So it looks like they're not only engaged in the management, but they also have some spiritual responsibilities. Just like any temple president. He manages the money, but he also has to give the Bhagavatam class. And the GBC, we have a GBC sitting here today, Mother Malati, they manage the money and the temples. And Prabhupada said their most important duty when they go around is to ask the devotees if they're chanting 16 rounds. So you have to line up after the program, and Mother Malati is going to ask you if you're chanting a 16.
You'll like get insulted.
So these personalities, these devatas who are afraid of God because he's so powerful, out of fear they do their duties. These descriptions in Vedic literature, we shouldn't think it's something like Greek mythology. You have Zeus, who else?
Thor.
You may see some similarities, but actually don't think of these. They kind of made it all up. Or maybe they took it from the Vedic culture, because I heard there were actually yogis living in both the Greek and the Roman Empire for centuries, actually. So maybe there was, I won't speculate on that. But these are real persons. And sometimes they come here. They used to come all the time to the earth planet, because they're devotees. They like to hear the glories of Krishna. Devotees love to hear about Krishna's pastimes. That's their nectar. If they have some free time, let's talk about Krishna. Right? So devatas are quite elevated, and whenever there's a big yagya where Krishna is glorified, they zoom in. Vroom, they come. Yagya vai Vishnu. They actually accept the offerings on behalf of Vishnu. They offer them to Vishnu, and then they give them back to the priest. That was how the actual Agnihotra took place. The priest would do the yagya, and the demigods would be hovering around the yagyashala. They don't sit because they don't touch the ground. They don't want to touch the place of the earthlings. If you see someone walking and his feet's not touching the ground, you better bow down. And on behalf of Vishnu as his representative, like the spiritual master, he accepts the disciple's offering on behalf of Krishna. Because the spiritual master has the connection, so he takes the offering, and you can feel, I'm offering it to my Guru Maharaj, so Krishna's accepting. If the spiritual master is pleased, Krishna's pleased. If the spiritual master is displeased, Lord is displeased. The same principle. They would accept the offering. And the common men could see them. Even the chandala, even the dog eater. He could also see the demigods. We mentioned the other day in one program. I can't remember, we're giving so many classes. One time there was a very ecstatic kirtan in the Seven Bury Place Temple in London. That was a nice temple, near the British Museum. We have many fond memories of Prabhupada being there. And there was a big kirtan. Prabhupada was actually leading the kirtan. Not many recordings, actually, of Prabhupada leading the kirtans, but as I mentioned one time, that one devotee sent me from L.A. one time. You know, he taped a kirtan of Prabhupada leading the kirtan. Really, like, Rakam Sakam Kirtan, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. The Prabhupada was leading and it was going on. I was very ecstatic. And then he told me that was the only recording I should tape it and send it back, and I lost it. It was like 45 minutes. It was just so nectar. Hare Krishna. But it was very ecstatic kirtan. Afterwards, Prabhupada said, maybe Mother Malati was actually there. Prabhupada said, did you see them? The devotee said, who? Prabhupada said, did you see Brahma and Narada? Brahma and Narada? Prabhupada said, yes, they were here. They sometimes come to the big yajñas. And because in this age, the yajña is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
They came. And one devotee said, what was Narada Muni doing? And Prabhupada said, he was laughing at you because you're such Kali Yuga devotees. But don't stay Kali Yuga devotees. Eh? We laugh at the childish antics of our children. It's funny. It's cute. But not after 25 years they're still doing the same thing. But don't say, you know, you get the sauce from your authority. Well, Prabhupada said he's laughing at me because at the demigods because I'm a Kali Yuga. No, we have to change. So, they're so powerful, and they're described in Vedic scriptures, so that we know where the grace is coming from. We're receiving so much mercy from Krishna through the demigods, and we have to acknowledge that. People are thinking this is some barbaric, hedonistic thing. You're talking about four-headed people and guys with eyes all over them, and people that ride swans and, you know, buffaloes, and you know. But science is much more barbarian. Just attributing it all to the chance of nature. No. It's much more civilized, the personal understanding, how God is supplying all these things. Nitya nityanam chaitanas chaitananam ekobahanam yovadi datikamam. Out of all the eternal beings, there's one who's fulfilling the desires of everyone. That is God. And he does it in a very intelligent way. He delegates the responsibility. But sometimes people don't know about Krishna. So they hear about Brahma. They're in some village in India, and they first hear about Brahma, or the family's always been worshiping, you know, Saraswati or Lakshmi like that, and just they don't have complete knowledge. Prabhupada says in a very interesting way, he says, a poor fund of knowledge. Like, you never hear anyone say that. The student doesn't say to the teacher at the University of Florida, you've got a poor fund of knowledge. He said, no, you're not learning enough. You don't know enough. But people we'll keep that term forever in ISKCON, because Prabhupada gave it. A poor fund. Like, you know, what's your fund? You know, what's your bank account? poor bank balance. You know. You have a poor fund of knowledge. Poor fund of knowledge if they don't know about Krishna. So they begin to worship the devatas. Because they acknowledge. You have to acknowledge. You have to say thank you. If someone gives you something, you don't say thank you. Hey, don't expect they're going to give you much more. So we do that in our Christian tradition. We sit down and we pray before the meal. And in our Vedic tradition, you're drooling. You didn't have breakfast yet. So they worship, but because we acknowledge Krishna, we don't have to worship the demigods independently. And generally people get caught up in the worship and they just want something material from the demigod. We frown on that. Because we know that material benedictions only entangle you more and more. We need material things enough, but just enough to keep the body, the family, the society, and mankind together. Just like in working order. We don't want to get entangled. Ishyavasham midam sarvam yatkinja yakatyam jagat tena taktena bunjitaha magiraha kashashuddhana. Take what you need. How many times have we quoted on this tour? Gandhi says, the problem in this world is not that people are taking according to their need, they're taking according to their greed. If you take according to their need, there's plenty for everyone and you don't pollute the environment. It's so simple. The whole environmental issue, the whole global warming. They're trying so many different measures to do it and this and that, but hey, just go back to simple living with high thinking. Everything will work properly. That's the way God intended it. God created the countryside, and man created the cities. We don't want to get entangled, just like the spider, she builds her web and the fly is flying around, and then boom, he gets one little foot caught in the web. And then to get out, he puts his second foot, and then his third foot, and his fourth. Pretty soon he's trapped. So if you take more than your quota, more than you need, you get trapped. You get, your whole life is just based on acquiring these material things and maintaining them. And cry when you lose them. So people in Vedic culture, they just had to take what was necessary, and they knew the easy way to get it. You ask the demigod for a benediction, and then hopefully they would use that benediction in Krishna's service. But this is the point. Simple needs and easy process to obtain it. Makes life relatively pleasant. They have so many desires and a very complicated way to fulfill those desires. If you have simple desires and the demigods are fulfilling them, you've got plenty of extra time. Like Prabhupada said, in Vedic culture, I heard the tape the other day, in Vedic culture, people would work, because it was based on agriculture, protecting the cows and cultivating the land. They would work 7 months altogether, plant, cultivate, and harvest. They had everything they needed, and they had 5 months off. What would they do with the 5 months? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Vasika is laughing because she works for Microsoft, and to get a day off, she has to, like, you know, go down on her knees. In Vedic culture, people didn't need very much. They were happy inside. They knew the irony of material sense gratification, that the more you get, the more you want. It's like trying to put out a fire. You pour kerosene on the fire, it comes back more, it becomes stronger. You try to satisfy the senses, the desires become strong. You're never satiated. There's never a last drink, a last cigarette. It's always more and more and more and more. So, take what you need, that you don't need so much, and then you can pray. You can pray to different demigods for satisfying what you need. If you're diseased, then you do some puja to Surya Bhagavan. If you want education, you pray to Saraswati. If you want a beautiful wife, you don't have to go on the internet and embarrass yourself in such a situation. You just, dear Uma, 5'6", blue eyes. Of course, the higher principle is just to worship Krishna. Yogik shemam baham yaham. For my devotee, I provide whatever he needs, and I protect whatever he has. He may do it through the agency of the demigods, but that's the best. So this is very intelligent. You could say it's lazy intelligence. You have 5 months off, you're very lazy people. Yes, thank you very much. But I'm not foolishly lazy, sir. I'm intelligent lazy. Prabhupada talked about that. He said, there's the busy fool, there's the lazy fool, there's the busy intelligent, and there's lazy intelligent. He says that the busy fool, he's crazy. He's just very busy for getting stupid stuff. Then there's the lazy fool, you know, like he sits on the street corner with a sign, you know, homeless, very poor, and he makes $1,000 a day. My brother told me. My brother was homeless for 43 years. He used to eat out of garbage cans. But he said, when I wanted some money, I'd write that thing on the cardboard box. I'd make anywhere from $400. A couple times I made $1,000 a day. That's lazy foolish. You just sit on the street corner and the money comes. Then there's busy intelligent, like the passionate businessman, every day, like he used to be. Right? Every day. I couldn't even talk to him on the phone. Oh, I should be there. Now he's retired. He's only got $10, but
yes,
he's really hungry. That's why he's here today. But then there's lazy intelligent. Lazy intelligent means that you use your intelligence, and you know, like some people, they work from home, they set up a business, and they're very intelligent people. They can set up a structure and they do everything through the computer. And, you know, it's unique, but I'm always amazed when I, where's your office? No, this is my office. Over there is my office. Like in a $1 million mansion. Lazy intelligence. Lazy intelligence means you intelligently realize you don't need so much to keep it all together. not so difficult to get it. Appeal to the demigods, or basically Yajna Vai Vishnu. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods along with sacrifices for Vishnu and blessed them, saying that be thou happy by this yajna, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation. Hey, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. This is economy in its perfection. You just know where it's coming and, you know, pray to God and be happy with your destiny. Some people are naturally going to be a little bit better off than others. Who cares? As long as you've got the holy name, service to the Vaishnavas, and service to Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, you've got it made. You don't need much more than that. Because those are the real source of happiness in this world. Samsara sarpadushtanam murchitanam kalo yuge asadham bhagavan nama srimad vaishnava shevanam. Those who've been bitten by the serpent of samsara in the age of Kali shall get relief by the medicinal herb, Ayurveda herb, of asadham bhagavan nama, chanting names of Krishna, and srimad vaishnava shevanam, serving the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. And Jivadaya also, taking that mercy to others. If you have those things, if you have just those things, Nam Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva, and Jivadaya, you're in a better position than Bill Gates. Of course, he is a religious man, so that's not a proper statement, but a philanthropist as well. But perfection is there. If you have those three things, then whatever else comes, all right. If you've got everything, but you don't have love of God, you're poor. If you have love of God, and you have very little else, you're really the richest man on earth. What is the value of having all that wealth if you're not peaceful? If there's no peace, there's no happiness. We've seen in India the sadhus. I love to go back to India because there I see the sadhus. Nothing in Braj. They have their wrapper around their waist. But their eyes are shining. They're peaceful and they're joyful. They have a certain countenance about them. All they have are those wooden beads that are shiny after 65, 70, 80 years of japa. That's all they have. And they have some prasad and they have their water pot and they walk around. I would love to do that. But in one sense, higher than that is serving the, of course, higher than serving the order of Guru Maharaj. If Prabhupada left that wonderful life, if he hadn't left it to come to the West, where would we be? I can't imagine what I'd be doing. Probably mowing lawns or something. I don't know. Maybe I'd be in the military. I don't know what I'd be doing. I don't even know. I don't fit into this world. I think back. I think there's nothing else I could have done except this. Thank God Prabhupada found me. Like Gurangi said to Shivaram Maharaj, "It took you so long to find me. Please don't kick me away." Mm-hmm. Usually we think, you know, it took us so long to find the Guru. No. Prabhupada, it took you so long to find me, so many births. Please don't ever let me go. Because he's given us this wonderful life of Krishna consciousness. So we know. Keep it simple. And chant, Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Oh, Pimanandi.